Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7. In verse 22, and this is Jesus talking, many will say to me in that day, and this is talking about the white throne judgment of God, which will happen after the millennial reign is completed. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name do many works of power? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Then everyone who hears these words from me and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain came down, and the floods came up, and the wind blew, and fell against that house. But it did not fall, for it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and who does not do them, he shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the floods came up, and the wind blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the collapse of it. Then, in Romans 14:23, the Word of God tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In Revelation 1:5, the Word of God tells us that the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sin. All sin does not mean just our sin. It means all sin, ours, other people's sin that affects us, and so on. And then in Psalm 103:12, God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Now, we know that is a geographical reference, but where you have space, Einstein showed us, you have time. Where you have time, you have space. That's why it's no longer called merely space, but rather space-time, because the two are the same thing, space and time, two components of one thing. Now, something happened to these people in Matthew chapter 7. These people had faith. Sometimes we tend to think that they didn't have faith because we find out that they were not saved. They were those who worked iniquity. But in fact, they did have faith and they were not saved. They did not lose their salvation. They never possessed it. But their faith was built on something other than what it needed to be. And that's why Jesus went into that analogy about the house built on a rock versus built on sand. If it's built on a rock, if it's built on Him, then that house will stand, that life will stand, then nothing can move that believer. But if it is built on sand, and my faith is built on the wrong things, then not only will my faith not stand, it will fail to stand in the most profound ways. Even though these people clearly thought in their lives that they were saved, because they did have faith. We know they had faith because they acted in His name. However, it was not regarded by God. Why? We have to ask ourselves why. Because these people, like us today, they believe they are saved. They weren't. Why? The people in verse 23 of Matthew 7 had a self-oriented activity. Many wonderful works in His name, but He called it iniquity. Iniquity is self-orientation. They had great activity, but it was self-determined religious activity for Jesus. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, in verse 5, Cain offered something to God, and Cain's offering was not acceptable, but he did it for God. Yet God did not accept it. God rejected it. We can think to ourselves, I'm doing this for God, and God may not accept it. God may reject it. And the reason why it was rejected was because it was self-determined religious activity. It was a self-defined faith. It was not the faith that Jesus was looking for. It was not a saving faith. It was not a faith that is pleasing to Him. It was a self-defined faith. Self-defined faith cannot stand before God. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. These people did have activity, but they didn't have righteousness. Their faith did not count for righteousness. Not only did self-defined faith not serve them, it did not sustain them in the trials. In other words, the wind came, the floods came up, and the house blew over, and great was its fall. This is the problem with religious systems. They produce an activity in the name of God without the faith of the Son of God, which saves and which governs. We have to understand that there is a source to faith. We have to understand that if we define faith simply the way that we desire to define it, according to our sensitivities, according to our preferences, this is one of the problems with things like higher criticism. This is a problem with this modern philosophy within Christianity that actually is not a faith, but it's a self-defined faith, believism. There's a very famous person who on occasion talks about being a Christian. Now, I'm not judging her salvation. That's not for me. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But this person has this concept of spirituality. This person has talked about it at length on occasion, and it's a self-defined spirituality. So much so that this person has redefined God, where the Word of God says in 1 John 4:16 that God is love. This person has reversed the order and says love is God. That order is not reversible. Because love is God is a subjective interpretation based on personal experiences rooted in the emotions. That is not spirituality. Modern day spirituality is nothing more than emotionalism. Spirituality is that which is initiated, sourced, and an activity through the Holy Spirit. Spirituality is not based in my definitions, and it's not based on any activity that I may possess. It is not self-defined, nor is faith. Faith is not self-defined. A self-defined faith will not save you. Because a self-defined faith in Romans 7:22 and 23 was not accepted by God. In Galatians 4:5, self-defined service, what I did for God, that was not accepted by God. In Galatians 2:19, through the law I'm dead to the law. Through the law, I'm dead to the law. Christ was crucified under the law, because of the law. I've been crucified with Him in Galatians 2:20. I died with Him because I've been crucified with Him. Now, I understand that this seems a little bit metaphysical to people, a little bit pie in the sky, a little bit hard to understand, philosophical kind of a thing. Don't worry about that. It actually works very nicely in physics. But if you don't understand the physics, it doesn't matter. just accept what God says by faith, but I can tell you, it does work in physics. Einstein told us that all points of time are present simultaneously. That is at the heart of relativity. And since all points of time are present simultaneously, and since the cross in Revelation 13:8 is the very structural foundation of the world, I am necessarily on the cross. It's not just an event 2,000 years ago. It's what the world was built upon. Through the law, I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. Now, because I am crucified with Christ, in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, I am one person with Christ. I'm the one new man, the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 12:27. When He took my sins on Him, it's because I became Him. I became His body. I didn't become Jesus the Savior. I became the body of Jesus the Savior. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. In Romans 2:5, I enter that grace through faith. In Hebrews 4:16, that grace is God's throne. It is the government of God. With their works in the name of Christ, in Matthew 7:22, this crowd frustrated the grace of God. They frustrated the government of God. They didn't realize that they did, but they did frustrate the government of God because of their iniquity. Iniquity is self-orientation, which by definition operates outside of categorical doctrine from the Bible. If I am operating outside of the Word of God, outside of the doctrine of God, it is by definition lawlessness. Iniquity leads to lawlessness. Not because I'm a lawbreaker. Quite the opposite. In my acceptance of a standard of a performance, from the law, I violate the law. Because by the law, I'm dead to the law. So I'm no longer measured by that law. Nor can I be, because I'm dead to it. It's the law that crucified us. Because of the law, we are crucified with Christ. And albeit we are crucified with Him, we live. But we don't live our own life, we live His life, and we live it by the faith of the Son of God. Now, there are commentaries that say that is faith in the Son of God. That is completely incorrect. Faith in the Son of God is worthless faith. Why? Because the devils recognized who the Son of God was. They knew He was the Savior. They knew they were talking to Jesus. They knew He was God. They trusted that. They knew it. They were absolutely certain of it. But it wasn't saving them. Because they couldn't and didn't possess faith of the Son of God. Faith in the Son of God and faith of the Son of God, they are two things that are worlds apart. We live by the faith of the Son of God. We do not live by our own faith. We do not live by a self-defined, self-imposed faith. We live in a faith that is absolutely objective, absolutely sourced outside of ourselves. And then we receive that faith and it transforms us. They didn't have faith of the Son of God. It was a naturally derived faith, and it was through self instead of being a spirit derived faith. Naturally derived faith is nothing more than superstition. But a spirit derived faith, now that brings life. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. This is what happened to that Matthew 7:22 crowd's religious teaching and thinking. They receive this teaching. There's still churches today that will give you this teaching. Be good, do good, follow the Ten Commandments. Make sure that you do curtsy and all that stuff at the right time. All of it is unacceptable to God. All of it is rejected by God, and all of it is called our righteousnesses, which God sees as nothing more than filthy rags. God is not interested in that which is not from His Spirit. If it's of my own production, Cain found out that it doesn't work. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom speaks, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. This is the line upon line, precept upon precept in Isaiah 28. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, they're identified as being from God through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that identifies them. Spirituality is that which comes by the means of the Holy Spirit. Here it's talking about John 16:13, where the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. Now, where did that faith come from? The Holy Spirit's teaching. Line upon line, precept upon precept, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man has nothing to do with these things. The natural man cannot receive them. A natural faith, a self-defined faith, is not acceptable to God because it cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, we know that all things that are not of faith are sin. We know that the blood of Christ removes sin, and that it removes sin from time. In Matthew 7:23, when Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you that work iniquity," He is giving a time reference. Nowhere in time have I ever known you. There was not one moment when I knew you in time. It's a time reference. The blood of Christ deals with time. Now, these people had faith, but their faith was removed by the blood. So why is it that there is some faith which is not removed by the blood? Whatever is not of faith is sin, right? But their faith was sin. Why? Sourced in self. If it's sourced in self, if it's not sourced in the Holy Spirit, it is sin. It's only the Holy Spirit who can produce faith in us, and He produces it by His Word. Now, it's specifically the word of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing is the word akoe, and it refers specifically in this passage to oral instructions. In other words, you hear the preacher speak, you hear him teach, you hear him preach, you receive from him, he instructs you in the Word of God. That is how faith comes. It was not self-defined, it did not originate in me, it was not based on an opinion, it was not based on an emotion, it was not based on a preference. It was based entirely in the instruction that I have received from the Word of God. These churches who don't preach the Word of God, there's no way to get saved there. Because even if there is a natural faith present, it's not a natural faith that saves. It's faith that comes from the Word of God. They're great deceivers if they do not preach the Word of God, because they allow people to think that they are growing in faith when they are actually growing in iniquity. Defining on a self-merited basis or defining in a works production what faith is, and thereby relying for their salvation on a faith that is unacceptable to God. That's a satanic counterfeit. And it is popular. It is big. It is a counterfeit. Faith comes by the hearing, the instruction of the Word of God. Now the word here for Word of God is rhema. It's not logos. Logos is either general utterances or doctrine. But here it's not general utterances or doctrine. It's rhema. Rhema is when the Holy Spirit speaks the Word of God to your frame of reference, to your heart, to your life, to your situations, to the things that pertain to you. That's rhema. That can only come by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt in church like, wow, the pastor is talking to me? It doesn't matter which church you're talking about, many pastors preach the Word of God. And you think to yourself, wow, that pastor is talking to me. Did somebody tell him what's going on in my life? He is describing my life. Well, nobody told him what's going on, but the Holy Spirit is giving him the message. And as the Holy Spirit in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 comes and gives him the message, then the Holy Spirit in John 16:13 applies that message to the specifics of your life, of your needs. That's rhema. You hear the Word of God, the instruction in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. That's rhema. That's where faith comes from. The instrument that brings faith is the instruction in categorical doctrine from the Holy Spirit pertaining to that which is in your life, resulting in a categorical faith. And categorical faith is God's thoughts and God's promises for every situation that you individually encounter. That's rhema. Faith apart from the Holy Spirit doesn't happen. Faith apart from the Word of God doesn't happen. The Word of God has to be proclaimed, but then the Holy Spirit takes that Word and He applies it to you. That's when faith happens. Self-defined faith doesn't work with God, because it's not actually faith. We call it faith, but it's really just believism. It's a system of belief that is outside of faith. That which the Holy Spirit brings through the Word to you is where your faith comes from. It's not a general faith, it's a specific faith. It's not a general utterance, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the Word of God as the preacher is giving it. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. In Revelation 2 and 3, faith comes by the word of God being delivered through the Holy Spirit to the church. There it specifies, as the Spirit speaks to the churches. People say to themselves sometimes, well, the Holy Spirit is in me. I can hear from the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can. No doubt you can. And yes, if you are born again, He is in you. But it still doesn't change the way that God has established the order of things. God doesn't change His methods or order for my preferences. The way that God does it is the Holy Spirit speaks to the messenger. It says to the angel in the King James, it's not angel, it's agalos, which means messenger. Bad translation there. The messenger is the pastor over the church. He's the messenger. This is why it's important to have pastors who know how to hear from the Holy Spirit. It's not difficult, it simply takes availability. So the pastor hears from the Holy Spirit. He delivers the message that the Holy Spirit gives him as he's receiving it from the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit inside of you takes that word and he applies it to your life as the pastor is speaking to the church. And then you say, he's talking to me. Yes, absolutely he is, but he doesn't know it. The Holy Spirit knows it. Because of this, in Hebrews 10:25, because it is in church that our faith is built, it is in church that we receive from the Holy Spirit, from the pastor teacher, as he receives the message from the Holy Spirit, imparts it to us, the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Therefore, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Folks, we're living in perilous times. Anybody who is over 40, I think, can identify this very easily. Maybe even those people in their 20s who know how to think correctly. I've heard people in their 50s who are unbelievers marvel at the strange things that are taking place in our age. They don't understand them because they're not saved, but even the lost can recognize the strangeness and the peril of the times. We live in perilous times. Satan is targeting churches all over the world. He's targeting the Word of God all over the world. I read about one person recently, I believe it was in Finland, where this woman was charged with a crime because she said that marriage is between a man and a woman according to the Bible. She wasn't being hostile toward anybody. She was simply saying the Bible says marriage is between a man and a woman, something that everyone in the world understood without any problem until about 20, 30 years ago. And then suddenly, for the first time in history, Marriage can be something more than between a man and a woman. What are we, evolving into hermaphrodites? That's idiocy. Marriage is between a man and a woman only. Good luck trying to reproduce two men or two women. You're never going to have kids. And that is one of the purposes of marriage. This idiocy is taking hold in our culture and it's being enforced by authorities in governments. And the prosecutor said about this woman, she can think as she chooses in her mind. How big of that prosecutor? What a wonderful person. She can think what she wants as though he could control that in any way whatsoever. But she can't say it. So much for human rights. Not in that prosecutor's mind. We're living in perilous times. All over the world, we are living in perilous times. Satan is attacking like he's never attacked before on scales that we've never seen before. You can't afford to step away from faith. Because the whole point of the attack is to destroy faith. So more than ever, we do not forsake or neglect the assembling of ourselves as believers. But we do it much more as we see the day approaching. We are faithful to it more than ever as we see the day approaching. And we see the day approaching today like we've never seen it before. We need to protect faith because even the elect can be deceived. I know of people, pastors even in some cases, who will say, well, I know what the Word of God says, but I can't apply it here because this situation will not allow me to apply it. This situation is different. I guess this situation is beyond the Word of God. This situation is beyond God's abilities and God's truth. I have to go to natural thinking. I have to go to worldliness. I have to step outside of truth and I have to apply a lie. I've actually heard that said by pastors. Not many, thank God, but nevertheless, pastors. When the poll that was taken a number of years ago said that in the top five denominations in the United States, less than 50% of the pastors believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, we're in a lot of trouble. And America is still doing really well with the Word of God relative to most other countries. We're in perilous times. The only thing that's going to get us through perilous times is faith. But not self-defined believism, the faith of the Son of God, whose life we live through the cross. But notice in Galatians 2:20, that faith of the Son of God does not come except through the cross. Because any other faith is iniquity because it is self-defined. And it will not hold up with God. In Galatians 5:5, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Faith through the Holy Spirit brings righteousness in Romans 3:22. Therefore, in Romans 1:17, when we go from faith to faith, because the just will live by faith, that's the revealing of the righteousness of God in us. We go from faith, we receive faith of God through the Word of God, we apply the faith in our practical details. That's what it means, from faith to faith. Well, that is the exact same idea as in Galatians 2:20, having the faith of the Son of God through the cross, because we live the life of God. It's not our faith, it's not our life, it's not our mind, it's not our thought. It all comes from God. Therefore, if I have the mind of Christ through the Word of God, it's going to be a faith of the Son of God, and the choices I make are going to be the application of that faith. That is righteousness before God. Faith derived from the Spirit, because it is God, is not eliminated by the blood as sin, any more than Christ was eliminated by the blood as Savior. The blood became the provision. But for those with a self-defined faith, it becomes their eradication. It has to be the Spirit of faith. In Galatians 5:6, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working by love. Circumcision was the religious practice that was set in typology for Israel to teach them. But it was not salvation, nor was it faith. It was a teacher. Now we live by faith, and that faith necessarily works by love. Why? Because in 1 John 4:16, God is love, and the faith that we live by is the faith of the one who is love. Therefore, faith works by love. The Word of God is the Word of the one who is love. So the faith that is produced in us through His Word to us is from the source of love. Faith that works by love means that our responses to God are initiated by and reflected and reveal the love of God. If it doesn't reflect or reveal or is initiated by the love of God, then it is not God's faith in us. The faith of the Son of God means that our faith and the responses that we have to faith are from God and reveal Him. Love is both the source and the motivation of faith, and the expression of that faith reveals the love of God. In Matthew 12:33, if it is the right faith, faith of God, it will reveal love. That's how you know that faith is of God. It will always reveal its source. Even the wrong faith reveals its source. Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works and cast out demons in your name? Whoever told you that Jesus was interested in your wonderful works or the casting out of demons? The great commandment was to love God, and the second one was just like the great commandment, to love one another. Whoever told you that God was looking for your great works? God wanted your response to His initiations, not your self-defined faith responding to your own initiations. Cain, that is not going to work for you. It didn't work then, it doesn't work now, it never has. because it was not what God was looking for. God wants to impart His life to us and thereby His faith to us through the Word that He guides us in. He's not looking for our efforts. He's not looking even for our religion. He's not looking for whatever it is that their religious traditions are, whatever tradition they adhere to. It doesn't mean anything. It's empty. And it doesn't save, nor does it produce results. The faith of the Son of God. In Hebrews 11:1, the Word of God says that faith is substance and faith is evidence. Faith is not a wishful thought toward an unknown or an unseen. Faith is our ability to have God's confidence and expectation regarding what He knows and what He sees. And when we respond to Him in faith because we have His mind, He puts eternity in our hearts so that we can understand or at least accept what He is doing in eternal purpose in Ecclesiastes 3:11. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, no one is able to lay any other foundation beside the one having been laid, who is Jesus Christ. In John 1:14, He is the Word of God alive. And if anyone builds on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the works of each one will be revealed, for the day will make it known, because it is revealed in fire. And it's not fire that's going to take place in heaven like some people think, God bless them. It's the fiery trial of your faith. And the fire will prove the work of each, what sort it is. If the work of anyone which he builds remain, then he'll receive a reward. If the work of anyone which he has built is consumed, he will suffer loss. But he will be saved as by fire. Too many people waste their life and their opportunities by playing around with applying doctrine. They just won't do it. They'll define things outside of doctrine, define things outside of God's Word, outside of God's will, and they say, this is what will be acceptable, or they give themselves excuses, well, I just can't, for whatever number of reasons. They're all lies. People waste their lives and their opportunities. And through this false either lie that they give themselves or through this false faith that is self-defined, so many people end up wishing away their lives unto eternal loss. But faith of the Son of God in Philippians 3 and in Hebrews 4:2 is the only thing that brings gain. Everything else is loss. Those people out there who lament what someone has done to them, or those people out there who lament their situation or their condition, and they say, oh, woe is me. And they refuse to apply faith. Or those people out there who say, I don't have time. Or those people say, I have too many responsibilities, too much to do. And they refuse to apply the Word of God in specifics of their life. They're wishing their lives away. Applying value to things that have no value. And letting go the only things that do have value. And their lives are leaving them with nothing left for eternity. Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? We were hoping that they had merit. We were hoping they had value. We were hoping that you would accept them. He says to them, depart from me, I never knew you. All you've ever worked was self-oriented, self-determined, production that I can't even begin to accept because it has the absolutely wrong source. God will accept Abel's gift in Genesis chapter 4. God will accept Abel's gift. Today, in our lives, God will accept Abel's gift. What is Abel's gift? He stood before God on the basis of the blood of Christ, trusting through the Holy Spirit in that blood, because that's what God gave as his provision to stand before him. Abel stood in the faith of the Son of God, and that was no waste at all. That was the only effective thing that a human could find, a spirit of faith. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.